D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Great start to the show for me today. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will be on later in the program. He is with the Predators in Raleigh, North Carolina. Predators at Hurricanes tonight, puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. So Willie Donick will be along probably in the second half of the program. I hope everybody is having a wonderful start to their sunny Tuesday here in Nashville, Tennessee. Yesterday, of course, was a big day for Titans fans. It was Cam Ward's pro day at Miami. And I'll be honest with you, all of you. I watched it, as much of it as I could, and I was impressed by many of the things that Cam Ward did. I still struggle to understand just how valuable the on-field stuff is at a pro day. And Derek, we are going to get your in-depth analysis of what we saw from Cam Ward at his pro day. We will also talk to Tim Hasselbeck in the next segment. And Tim was on Get Up this morning on ESPN talking about Cam Ward's pro day. And Tim spoke to me.
In what way?
He will literally speak to me in about 30 minutes, but he figuratively spoke to me because he was talking about pro days and how scripted they are. And and I'm going to listen back before we talk to him so I do not misconstrue his words. But he said that pro days are almost becoming a complete waste of time. I think he was talking about the on-field stuff. It's important for the Titans and other teams, though mostly the Titans, to visit with Cam Ward, talk to Cam Ward, talk to his coaches at Miami, talk to his teammates, all of those things. That's important. But Mike Greenberg showed one of the viral plays from Cam Ward yesterday. He rolls to his left and heaves the ball basically the length of the field. And Mike Greenberg asked Tim Hasselbeck, how often is this play run in a professional football game? And Tim said, never. And likened it to a basketball player at his pro day taking a bunch of half-court shots. Now, Derek, when I explained this to you, you pushed back a little bit because you did say that there may be an instance in the game when Cam Ward has to make a play like that. But we will talk more about this with Tim Hasselbeck in the next segment, coming up at around 11:30. But as I'm watching this, the question I have is, would there be a more productive use of team's time than watching Cam Ward in a scripted practice throwing to his receivers? Not taking away from some of the impressive things that he did on the field. But I again, struggle to grasp the importance of this day as it relates to the Titans. Maybe you can help me out.
If I push back on that just a tad bit, because we can also say, well, what is the importance of the NFL combine, you know? Because it's becoming more of a spectacle than anything else. And I get it, you know, it would be the first time you get a chance to get your eyes on a prospect, do the medicals, you know, talk with him a little bit. So I understand sort of that aspect of it. But you can get all that during the individual workouts. But they choose not to do it. And again, I understand why they do it the way they do it. So there's really no pushback. I'm just kind of sort of comparing one to the other and what one could say as a defense for saying that the pro days are a little bit more than that. Now, listen, I don't think, and I said this before, the pro day workout. We talked about this yesterday. I didn't think there was anything Cam Ward could do outside of his arm falling off that, at least on the field, that would push him into the category of, we're not drafting this guy. It would have been the things that they went there outside of the field stuff, interviewing certain players, talking to staff members, talking to those that work within the program but not really attached to the program, you know, in a way that they're there in the meetings and out of the meetings with them, like the people in the lunchroom, you know, talk about or study hall, people like that. So how is he treating those people outside of the program? So if they would have gotten some red flags about that, then okay. But I think anything outside of his arm falling off and that, I think they have a positive sort of grade and potential of a Cam Ward. He hasn't done anything that would make them say, I don't know if we can draft this guy. I really don't. I think everything's pointing toward the positive. But even with that, somebody can say, I give you 2 first-round picks and this and that for the number one pick. Hey, I got to listen now. So I don't think there's anything. He did what he's supposed to do in regards to throwing the football. I think some of this stuff is now we get an opportunity to be on the sideline with them and see the power or the velocity that the ball comes out of his arm. So seeing that in person and feeling that, that's why you got to be there. Because a lot of times you are in a press box, you know, watching game or watching film, or you just can't get that close. Well, here you can get intimately close with the quarterbacks while they are doing or performing their workout.
So we have Good Morning Football on in the studio, and the question they're asking right now, does Cam Ward to the Titans at number one overall seem inevitable? Well, considering how many important people were there at Cam Ward's pro day. By the way, this was one of the funniest things I saw yesterday. Mm-hmm. There was a video before the pro day. I can't recall who shot it, but it was from across the field, and it was Cam Ward meeting members of the Titans staff. And I believe one of the people was Bo Hardigree, and the other was Jim Wyatt, which made me laugh. Because Jim Wyatt, we love Jim Wyatt. Jim Wyatt, I would recognize that visor from anywhere. He is the only person I know who still wears a visor unironically in 2020.
And it has a pin right in it, too.
He has a pin or a pen?
A pen.
I think he uses a pencil, actually. He goes old school.
Ah. Oh, then my bad. Pencil, yeah.
Yes, he uses a pencil. That's, you know, and not like a mechanical pencil, like a number 2 pencil.
Yeah, you got
to
sharpen.
That you had to go to the front of the class and turn the knob to sharpen, that kind. So,
hey, everybody uses a pencil nowadays, every now and then.
I would not be surprised if Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker and Brian Callahan had their mothers at this thing. That's how many people from the Titans were there, including their in-house production team, Jim Wyatt, and such. So David Janes actually has the clip of Tim Hasselbeck from Get Up this morning that I was referencing. We will talk to Tim in about 20 minutes, but here was Tim this morning on Get Up.
Up this orange line they have there, up the left side of the field. Tim, let me ask you, what is this play called? Like, if you're in the huddle and you want to call this play, what exactly is it the quarterback is saying? How often is this play run in a professional football game?
Yeah, pretty much never, Greedy. And that's one of the things about these pro days. Guys do this. Look, if you're an elite thrower, which Cam Ward is, you do things like this at your pro day, right? We've seen other quarterbacks do things like this at their pro day. To me, like, you've been talking a lot of basketball this morning. Like, this would be the equivalent of a basketball player on their pro day taking a bunch of half-court shots. Like, okay, great. Like, maybe it happens once every 5 games that you take a half-court shot in basketball. I don't know. But, like, in football, it's just unrealistic. And so some of these things that happen in these quarterback pro days, especially the way that they're so scripted, guys aren't, you know, testing, running 40s, doing things like that. They're just, if you're an elite thrower, you show off your arm. If you're not, you have to be a little more dialed in and scripted. And I hate to say it, it's almost just becoming a complete waste of time.
That's the point I want to make here.
That was Tim Hasselbeck this morning on Get Up. So I'm glad David had that so you could hear it versus me relaying it to all of you.
Okay.
Do you want to push back on Tim?
Yeah, I push back from this standpoint. He's right. This particular play isn't called in a game.
So let's set this up. He takes the ball.
Yes.
He rolls to his left.
Yes.
He's near the sideline.
Uh-huh.
He chucks the ball basically the length of the field, it feels
yes.
like.
Yes. So that particular – because you gotta listen to what – or how Greenberg is posing the question. He said – he didn't say, does this happen in the game? He said, is it scripted? What is this play called? And Tim's right. No offensive coordinator or head coach in their right mind is going to dial this one up, okay? Unless it's a Hail Mary. But no one's going to dial, put this in their first 15, okay? Nobody's going to do that. But what does happen is those he just wanted to show you his off-script throws, his ability to get outside the pocket, which we saw at least 10 times this year from our own quarterback, getting outside the pocket and trying to heave it down the field because he sees a one-on-one matchup. So that we see Patrick Mahomes do it all the time. So again, I don't fault Tim for answering the question the way he did because of the way the question was asked of him. Now, if he would have said, does this happen in the game a couple of times, you know, throughout the season with one particular team? He would have to say yes because we see it every week. And then let's go to the scripted part right quick. There is a thing called the first 15. You know what the first 15 are? Scripted plays. They are scripted plays, the first 15. We going to run this play first. All right, whatever, San Diego. We going to run this because we're banking on hitting those slants, gaining 6-7 yards, and then we're going to come back with a power to Eddie George, and we're going to gain the rest of it. Those plays are scripted. And then there's little sidebars. Okay, if we don't complete that pass, can we still go to the power with Eddie George? More than likely, yeah, because he's going to pick up 5 yards. So those plays are scripted. I don't understand this. Well, there's no need for it because they're scripted. The first 15 on every team that I've been associated with going back to college, we have a first 15, and it is scripted. Now, outside of that, you try to, because of your scouting, you try to have a thought in your mind on what you're thinking a play ahead as far as a quarterback, as far as an offensive coordinator. You're thinking ahead. And if the quarterback knows you the way he should, then y'all are thinking the same thing. So in actuality, it's a mental sort of scripting because we know what y'all are going to do. So, again, I'm a little pushback on that. Not a lot. Just a little pushback when it comes to those two things.
Well, the good news is – we'll have Tim on in just a few minutes, and you can push back directly to Tim.
Bam!
That's the best part about being a sports talk radio host. It just works out well that way. Jay is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jay, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you, guys. I just want to say, Cam Ward, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful to you as a Titans fan because I think Cam Ward is going to set the Titans up beautifully, and I might be going a different direction than most people. I think the Titans, I think they want to trade this pick. I think everything that I'm seeing, the tea leaves, I think the value has only gone up. And I think where the Titans are as an organization, I don't know if they're in the right, lockstep with the front office and the coaching staff to commit to a young quarterback right now. I think they will if they don't get the offer they want, but you look at the Giants, I mean, Jameis Winston, you're trying to convince me that Jameis Winston is going to play 17 games for them next year? I don't see it happening. And these guys are on the hot seat, and it's New York. So I think, you know, as much as people say the pro days, it doesn't matter. Well, the Titans staff was there, the Titans front office was there, the Jets front office was there, and that's when deals get made. And I'm calling my shot now. I don't think the Titans are picking at number one. I think they're picking at three, and they're taking Abdul Carter to get a premium position to start this rebuild right.
All right, Jay, thank you for the call. We will remember.
I wouldn't touch Abdul Carter.
Your call shot because of the foot injury?
Yes, because of the foot injury. I am very skeptical of moving out of the number one pick down to three and drafting him because of that foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's one, like red flags. He would probably be off some people's board because they don't want to have to draft a guy that high. And as a pass rusher, your knees and your feet are what make you. That ability, that spring, that punch, it all comes from the lower body. And if you are having, ask Javon Kurz after he had his knee, was it the same? You know, it can change how you play as a player. But then again, we don't know exactly when the injury happened. Was it during the season? If it was, then heck, he played through it and he played damn good. But then again, how long is he going to hold up? Now we're moving to another level now. These guys are much bigger and faster.
So, again, the Titans had everybody there.
Yeah.
Chad Brinker was there. Mike Borgonzi was there. Brian Callahan was there. Everybody who is important, everybody who has some role to play in this decision was there. And to me, I actually saw this yesterday and I found it to be humorous from Mike Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr. tweeted, quote, "The NFL Network crew talking about how rare it is for quarterbacks to hurt their stock at a pro day right as Cam Ward sailed a rollout throw to his right in the red zone was hilarious timing." And again, we have discussed examples of quarterbacks having poor pro days. Jared brought up Teddy Bridgewater last week, and Jared would know that because Teddy Bridgewater went to Louisville, and he went to Louisville, so he knows that. Teddy Bridgewater hurt his draft stock with his pro day performance. But from what I saw, and again, the only tape I grind is masking tape or duct tape or things of that nature. I don't grind tape like Derek grinds tape or Jared grinds tape or TD grinds tape. So I'm just watching from a pure football fan standpoint. I did not see anything yesterday that said to me, man, the Titans should reconsider. And it feels like it was this felt like confirmation to me that the Titans are going to take Cam Ward, unless, as Jay said on the call, the Giants or the Browns or somebody is so desperate for that number one pick that they will make the Titans an offer they simply can't turn down.
There's a difference between bombing your pro day and having a few missed throws.
So how did you feel about that? We will get more in depth with your thoughts on it, but generally speaking, how did you feel about Cam Ward's performance?
I think he did a good job. I think he did exactly what he went out and set to do, how they sort of scripted it. And bombing of a pro day would have been balls everywhere selling. Him not being on time with receivers. Him looking slow. That zip not there. That's bombing a pro day. That was the Teddy Bridgewater. But a couple of missed time throws or overthrows here and there. And it wasn't many, believe me. It was more so the one or two he had in the red zone areas. He had one that was in the play area on an out route, but then he ended up running it again. So you're talking he threw the ball maybe, let's just say, 70 times, and he has four bad throws. That you're telling me four out of 70, that's a red flag for you? Nah, because when I turn on the tape, I'm watching what he did against defenses. Now, again, He may end up being the greatest. He may not. I don't know. But I don't think he's doing anything that would make one think, oh, man, look at that. He's not worthy of the number one pick. No, that's not the case. You're just comparing him to the guys last season. And that's unfair to him because he wasn't in that draft. And we really don't know how they would have evaluated had all those guys been in the draft after Cam Ward having the season that he did this year.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Cam Ward's pro day. How much did it matter to you? 615-737-1025. We've mentioned Tim Hasselbeck a couple of times already. He will indeed join us coming up next. We will continue the conversation that he started having on Get Up this morning. Again, I agreed with a lot of Tim's comments, but we will dive into them a little bit deeper. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. 1025 The Game and Bavarian Beer House have teamed up to give away tickets to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Bridgestone Arena in the all-inclusive Eurostone Club on Saturday, May 17th. Tune in to Chase and Big Joe tomorrow during the 9 a.m. hour for the keyword to text in for your chance to win tickets. Bavarian Beer House, located at Opry Mills Mall, enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. D. Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, I saw your appearance on Get Up this morning. We played it in the first segment of the show. You really spoke to me this morning because I had some questions myself about the importance of Cam Ward's pro day. And if I misrepresent your comments at any point, please interject. But you were talking about the scripted nature of pro days, and you wondered aloud if they're becoming a waste of time. My question for you is, what would be a more productive use of teams and prospects' time as opposed to a scripted practice on pro day?
Well, I think if someone from a league, a team representative, so a team quarterback coach, like when you watch the film of the pro day, Mike Kafka standing in the background. He's the offensive coordinator for the Giants. Let him run it. So it's not, you don't know, the answers to the test before you take it. And then the other thing that would happen is that presumably if you have a coach running it, they're going to ask you to do things that are realistic and actually are things that you would be asked to do on a football field. So, and then I think there's like this other side of it, which is, guys don't run at the combine, and because of, certain analytic things and stuff like that, like data can be gathered whether a guy is fast or not and things of that nature. So like, I understand we're getting further and further away from guys testing. But like, he didn't do any, didn't run a 40, didn't jump, didn't do a shuttle drill. He basically was like, these are the things I'm good at. I'm going to do only those things. And in some ways, look, it's fine. Like, there's a saying in the NFL I was introduced to, which was, be who you can afford to be. And like, look, if you're going to be the number one overall pick and you can afford to not do the stuff, then don't do it, or do it how you want to have it done. But to me, we're going to beat it up and evaluate it. And truthfully, I there wasn't a ton that I thought, made sense in terms of what you actually see him do on the field. And then, and the stuff that he did, he obviously knew he was going to do.
Do you think, or what do you think, the Titans saw yesterday from Cam Ward that maybe they didn't already know? Or do you think this just served as confirmation to what they already knew about Cam Ward?
I think it would only be confirming, because when you watch him throw in games, you can see it. Okay, I've never seen him throw live. I can tell you right now, he's an elite thrower, and I've never seen him throw live. So, the stuff that you saw at the pro day, which was him throwing, that's it. Like, that's all. Like, that's what he did. Now, the other stuff, and like Mike Tannenbaum was making this point this morning, and I think it's a very good one. What you also want to see is, like, he's throwing with his receivers. What's his interaction with them like? What's the rapport with those guys like? And, when you're there on campus and you pull Xavier Restrepo aside and say, hey, so like you played with, you know, De'Aaron King and you played with Tyler Van Dyke. Like, tell me about Cam Ward. Like, what made him different than those guys? And like how those guys talk about him. Like, that's something like for the fan, that would like a reality show of like a video and recording during that would be way more interesting and I think valuable to get a sense of what kind of guy, what kind of teammate, all that type of stuff.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ainsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, I think you're spot on with that because – and I will talk a little bit about the on-field stuff and the scripted. But you were right about that, I believe, because when you go to the campus, a lot of this stuff you may have seen on tape and you just want to sort of get the feel of it actually being there. Some guys throw at the combine, so you get a taste there, and then you're going back to these campuses. And what you really want to find out is, how does he interact with everybody and not just the people he's in a locker room with? How does he interact with the lunch staff or the dinner staff? How does he interact with the trainers, the study hall people, the teachers? You know, how does he interact with those individuals outside of football? And anything outside of his arm falling off, I think, that would be more of a red flag than anything, don't you think?
Listen, I think it's a great point. When my brother got to Green Bay, Andy Reid said to him, he's like, listen, Brett's going to do all this stuff. Like, he's going to do all this stuff to practice, and a lot of it's wrong. Like, I don't want you to look at Brett and the way he throws and the way – you know, the way he practices, the way he goes outside the design of the offense. I don't want you to do that. But what I do want you to do is I want you to look at how his teammates react to everything that he does. I want you to look at how he knows everybody in the facility's name. Like, I want you to pick that up from Brett. And it's interesting. It might be something that you want to know about Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. Like, you see this guy, he's this guy from southern Mississippi, kind of a gunslinger. What's the deal? Well, like, it didn't matter if it was the front desk, if it was the equipment room, if it was the janitorial staff. Like, everybody, he knew their name, you know, and connected with them. And, you know, so I do think there are elements. You know this. Like, mm-hmm. the guys that you played with, teammates, like, look, there are a lot of guys that could make the throws. But, like, how did the guy handle it when there was a receiver that was mad because he was open and he didn't get the ball? Is he all right? Like, what mm-hmm. if the offensive linemen were screaming and yelling at each other for some reason? Like, how did he handle that? What if the guy had a horrible game and everyone's looking at him to see, well, how's he going to react after throwing three picks last week and having a fumble late in the game that cost us? Like how does he handle that? Like, those things are way more important because just about everybody that's going through this process has the physical ability to make mm-hmm. the throws necessary.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So I just thought that would be more important and insightful for those that are in a position to draft a quarterback than just about anything else. Now, in regards to the scripted, my pushback on that is a lot of the NFL game, at least the first 15, we all know, are scripted. So you know exactly what you want to do against certain defenses based upon if you got the first down or if you got from first to 10, you got 7 yards. So now, as I explained earlier to before you came on, Tim, now I know I can get the ball, which is my second play. I can get a ball to Eddie George, and Eddie George will get the remainder of the yards, and then we'll pick up the third play. So from that standpoint, I think they're trying to simulate the first 15. I know it's more than, you know, 15 passes, but they're trying to script it in such a way that, okay, how does he, how does he figure things out with his receivers when he's tired? You know, can he still make that deep throw? So that's my only pushback in regards to, well, yeah, a lot of this is scripted. And you're right, it is. But I think, you know, as you know, there are a lot of plays that are scripted, you know, on game day, at least the first 15 or 16 plays.
Yeah, and I don't care necessarily that, like, there's a plan for the mm-hmm. workout. But I think he goes into it knowing, I'm gonna throw three curls. I'm gonna throw, you know, two in cuts. I'm gonna throw a slant. Like he knows exactly every single throw. And then when they do, you know, hey, okay, you're gonna drop back. You're gonna break the pocket, and then this guy's gonna run at this angle, and you're gonna make the throw. Like so to me, you're just playing the drill at that point. There's nothing reactionary, and so I think that, you know, what I'm saying is like, you know, when you go into the test and you know what the test is, like, you're going to perform better. And so, you know, this notion that somebody would go have 70 throws and, you know, miss more than five of them when they are going to do it, like, to me is ludicrous. Like, I don't know that I would miss more than five of them even today if I knew the throws that I was making. So I just say it in that regard. And then the other thing I would say that is, like, to me, when I look at these that are just they're kind of nonsense, is I'll say this. D-Mace, how many catches did you have in your career? Like, about 1,000?
Close to it, yeah.
Okay, all right. You had 1,000 catches. How many of them – so, like, and you would say, like, when you ran a go route, like you would catch the ball at about how deep, 45 yards or so?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, the aiming point for a quarterback throwing a go route – the way I was taught was 45 and 5, 45 yards down the field, 5 from the sideline, okay? So then say, like, there's a hard play action, deep post shot play. What, you might catch that one at what, 52 yards?
Yeah, maybe? Depending on where we're at, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? Okay, so in your 1,000 catches, okay, how many catches do you think you had over 45 yards? That in the air, the ball was in the air.
That I actually caught?
Yeah, yeah.
I would say, if you're talking percentages, maybe 10% of them.
Okay, so maybe it's 100. Yeah. So now go and say, okay, let's go past, like, the deep post, okay? Mm-hmm. How many catches where the ball traveled in the air, 55 yards in the air?
Yeah, not many.
In your 1,000 catches, real. Like,
yeah, percentages
maybe on one
is
hand.
Yeah, you're right in right? regards to, yeah. Yeah, unless it was maybe just a broken play, and he, you know.
But no, no, and listen, I agree with you. Maybe it's just a broken play. But so you had 1,000 catches over roughly 15 years. And through all of that, you probably could count on one hand how many times a ball was thrown over 55 yards in the air and you caught it. And so what I'm laughing about is, like, you know, Cam Ward yesterday take, you know, a drop, take three hitches, and throw a go route 57 yards, or escape back pedal to his left and throw a ball 62 yards, or Zach Wilson will roll out to the left and launch one down the field, you know, 67 yards. Guess what? That never happens. That'd be like going to a basketball pro day and being like, all right, now shoot three-quarter length shots.
But, Tim, you are absolutely right, and that's why I said – I couldn't disagree with Tim based upon the way the question was asked. Greenberg asked you, is there, under any scenario, this play is called? And you are absolutely 100% right. That play is never called. But that play does happen. It happens more times than not. We've seen it with Will Levis a few times this season where, because of a bad offensive line, you escape to your left, and you see that one-on-one guy, and you're heaving it up, maybe to get a pass interference. Maybe you make the play. Who knows? But you see that happening. I think it's more so of, hey, listen, I'm going to show you what I can do if the pocket breaks down.
Hey,
and I'm just going to play with it just a little bit, just to show you I got
great.
The arm throwing down the
field.
Yeah. So I think it's more so of that.
Listen, you played with one of the best deep ball throwers in the last 10 years, you know what I mean? And Joe Flacco. And, like, so think about this. Like, there isn't anybody that is probably, I mean, very few guys that can throw it as far or as accurately way down the field as Flacco.
You're right.
And you, who caught a gazillion balls in your career, are like, yeah, you know what, man? Like, it really didn't happen. So what I'm saying is, like, hey, man, like it's great. Put your arm on tape, man. Like, show it off, right? Like, no doubt. Like, do your thing. Like, if you're ripped up, like, do your pro day without your T-shirt on. But, like, that does nothing. Does nothing in terms of telling me, like, what kind of quarterback you're going to be.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. I don't think it tells you. Yeah. I just think it's more so of the player saying, hey, listen, I can make that throw. Don't worry about it. Even though they're not really worried about it, but he's just letting them know. It's one of those show-off things. Like, this is what I can do.
Give me the guy that make his laps, okay? Yeah. Give me a guy that make his lap. Give me the guy that when he gets under pressure, he doesn't freak out and throw it right to the guy on the other team and run it back for a touchdown the first 2 weeks of the season.
No, you're right about
that. Give me that guy. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, look, listen, I didn't mean to touch a nerve with you.
No, you didn't. You did.
No. I knew you kept your T-shirt on at your pro day. Okay?
Yeah, man, I wasn't that ripped, man.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. I feel like that's a good stopping point right there. Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program as always. Tim, always a pleasure. We'll talk next week.
You got it. See you, fellas.
All right, Tim.
Tim Hasselbeck, 615-737-1025. Great stuff from Tim. Glad we could have him on today after his appearance on Get Up this morning. Your reaction to Tim Hasselbeck will also continue to take your reaction to Cam Ward's pro day, how much it mattered to you. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you that D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick is not here. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 106.3, the game.
Change of trajectory. That's what teams who are getting Cam want to get out of him. If an NFL coach, a Titans coach or a Giants coach or someone like that came up to you and Mario and said, why should we draft Cam Ward with a top overall pick, what would you tell them?
Well, first I'd ask them if they've watched film at all this year, because if they have, I think it would make things a little bit easier. But I would be completely honest and transparent. You know, he's one of one, you know, and not only as a player, as a person. And again, to watch him on a daily basis attack the processes of being a true professional at the position, attack the processes of being an elite teammate and competitor. I mean, I'm talking about every single practice, every rep. There are no wasted downs or no wasted opportunities. And then the other side, the human side, the connection side, he has just an uncommon ability to bring the best out of people and just change things. So he, it's been an unbelievable journey with him. You know, you always wish it's more than 1 year, but we can't wait to watch him play on Sundays.
That was Miami head football coach Mario Cristobal on NFL Network yesterday. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking Cam Ward. By the way, according to The Athletic, Cam Ward's workout started with 25 straight completions. Mm-hmm. Unofficially, Ward completed 54 of 62 passes to receivers running routes out of varying formations. He took snaps from shotgun and under center, and he showed off his arm strength while also mixing in some sidearm throws. Though the workout was scripted, it called for a lot of rollouts and simulated pressure situations in which Ward either had to pass on the run or dodge a theoretical oncoming defender before resetting and throwing. That according to The Athletic, which was on site yesterday for Cam Ward's pro day. All right, Derek, let's get into the nitty-gritty here. You watched Cam Ward's pro day. I wouldn't trust many other people to give a more detailed explanation of what we all watched than you. So as you watched Cam Ward's pro day, tell me what stood out to you that was positive. Tell me if there was anything that stood out to you that may give you a cause for concern, and your overall impression of Cam Ward after watching him throw yesterday.
I think the way, because they had different angles they were showing, and then I was able to go back on the internet and watch other angles.
It's all about the angles.
Exactly.
Do you remember when some of you may remember this. Did you ever have MySpace? You may have been too old for MySpace.
I had MySpace.
Okay,
but
you did?
Briefly, yeah.
Okay. I say that lovingly when I say you might have been too old for MySpace.
Had MySpace.
He's calling you old.
You would have been better off. We all had our top eight, right? We all had our top eight. If you liked someone, they were at the top of your top eight, and you could tell that you were falling out of favor as you went down the top eight. So if you had a girlfriend, you were number one, and then you I'm reliving teenage trauma here. That's not the point.
Millennials explain
the angles. It's all about the angles, the way you take the picture.
Yes,
makes your jawline look a little bit better.
Yes,
your gut looks a little bit smaller. It's all about the angles, right? So Cam Ward, he had some good angles yesterday, but you found alternate angles. It sounds
I found more so of a ground level view. See, people need to, I think fans, and there are some fans that have been fortunate enough through knowing people or through charities to be like on the ground level. When they say you're on the ground level, that's different from being, you know, a row, even a row up or two rows up. Being on the ground level, you feel, you hear, you see a little bit more, you're more in tune with that, a little bit more acute to all of that. So when you see it from a ground level, it's like you hear the ball come off the hand. You hear the whip in the ball or the snap in the ball. You hear it and you feel it when the receivers catch it. You can even feel it when you know he's just lofting it up there and put some air underneath it to allow the receiver to run up underneath it. That's what you're able to get with those other angles. That's what I was able to feel watching it from those other angles. Now, the NFL Network angles, it was great because you got an opportunity to see the whole feel as it was playing out. But to see those other angles sort of gave me a true feel of what it probably more than likely was like there. And the ball came off his hands. He moved very well in and out of the pocket when he had to. He was quick and decisive. And again, these are things that are supposed to happen. Why? Because like Tim mentioned in the prior segment, they're scripted. So you know how you need to deliver the ball. So I don't think from a passing standpoint, he showed you he can make all the throws, even the off-scripted ones where he was just playing with you a little bit. But he showed that he can make all the throws, even the one in the red zone area, a low, high red zone area, low red zone area, however you want to classify it. Those were good throws. Did he have a few that were, you know, bad throws? Yeah, but that's what you're going to see in the NFL. That's normal. I don't think there's been too many quarterbacks in the modern day era that didn't have a incomplete pass or a bad ball in their workouts, whether it be at the combine or, you know, at their pro day. So if he, again, had I saw him completely bomb it pass after pass, then, okay, we would have had to reevaluate it. So I don't think there's anything. I think the things that you wanted to see, you saw. The things that I wanted to see, I saw. Now, in regards to what negatives there could possibly be, you're not going to get any do-overs. So there was one, and maybe the receiver went a little bit too deep, because when you're running that out, it's 10 planet 10, row to 12. And the first one, it seemed like the receiver went a one revolution too long, which threw it off just a bit. That's what it seemed like to me. But you shouldn't have – so that, because that's a routine throw. If that's one of your guys you've been throwing the football to for over and over and over, he should know, and you should know where – y'all should be able to complete that with your eyes closed. But they didn't. But my only thing is, you don't get a do back on that one. Those are like hitches. Boom, hit that back foot and you throw it. Or if you're in shotgun already, you get that ball, boom, look, set, and throw. Those should be routine. That's the only sort. And that's like a minor thing, you know, because every throw isn't going to be a perfect throw. I get it. But if you're looking at him and you're saying, well, what can be some of the minuses? I would say, hey, listen, whether it be in the low red or the high red, and out in the field, those easy like hitches, quick outs, 10 to 12 yard outs, those are easy because they're rhythm throws. Those are easy throws. Even if the receiver falls down, it should have been in a spot where he, even if he fall down out of his break, it's still near him, you know? So that's probably the only sort of pushback, because it seemed like everything else went well. It seemed like I saw him with his interview, and I'm sure we will talk about it a little, with Rand Carthon. That went well.
That was something.
It was interesting, but to see Rand in that capacity.
Not the interview, the interviewer. That was just Rand Carthon randomly showing up conducting interviews. We'll
That's
talk
what
about
I'm saying,
that.
And we'll talk about that. But I don't think there's anything, at least what has been coming out about the whole workout. I don't think there's anything that is going to give me pause. If that was my guy, there's nothing that I'm going to walk away and say, let's rethink this. What I am going to do is say, okay, all right, how can we drum up the interest even more in our next meeting? Because somebody out there may be foolish enough to give us much more than what it's actually worth because of the sensationalization that we've, in sort of the talk we've created around, we may take him number one now.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Cam Ward's pro day. What did you like? What didn't you like? Where do you stand on Cam Ward now that he has done his pro day at Miami? 615-737-1025. We will also hear from Cam Ward because there was a moment at the pro day that caught a lot of people's attention, and I liked Cam Ward's response to it, and we'll play that next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The Game.